From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We have got such a great show for you today, but first we have to share an important warning. A lot of people come up to us and they say, hey, I get all my news from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and we find this both flattering and terrifying for the nation. Turns out, though, not a good idea. A new study was done in television, but we think it applies. It turns out that news entertainment shows like ours are not actually as good a source of the news as actual straight newscasts. The good news, though, is that they discovered that people who just watch or listen to news entertainment shows like ours actually know more than people who don't watch or listen to anything. So that's our new slogan, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, slightly better than just staring at a wall. Prove our point. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Marianne Reardon from Sudbury, Massachusetts.
Sudbury, Massachusetts?
Yes.
That happens to be the hometown of one Paula Poundstone.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that?
I think I did. She went to Lincoln Sudbury High School.
They don't have, like, plaques and stores selling souvenirs? And
they don't, no.
No. It's a shame she's not here. Otherwise, she and you would talk forever about that.
Yes.
Maybe it's a good thing she's not here. Let me introduce you to our panel this week, Marianne. First, say hello to a writer and comedian, Mr. Paul Prevenza.
Hello, Marianne. How are you?
Good.
Next, say hello to the woman behind the syndicated advice column, Ask Amy, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Marianne.
And lastly, say hello to a humorist and the author of the forthcoming book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Roy.
Well, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will read you three quotes from the week's news. Of course, if you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Here's your first quote.
Keep in mind that technically, had I meant it this way, she would be the lipstick.
Mm. That was Barack Obama on the David Letterman show on Wednesday doing his best to make a silk purse out of his use of the term lipstick on a pig that many in the GOP interpreted as an insult to whom?
The vice president of the Republican Party candidate, Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, exactly right. A couple of weeks ago, Governor Palin was an unknown in the national scene. This week, well, it's Sarah Palin's country, and we're just living in it until she either throws us out or shoots us from a helicopter. The McCain campaign insists simultaneously that she is tough, experienced, and ready to be president if need be, and that anybody who insults her is a horrible meanie. Now, Barack Obama reacted to the storm of prefabricated outrage in his usual aggressive fly-off-the-handle way. He wrote a stern letter to the McCain campaign asking them to please, if they're not too busy, come by and remove their knife from his back. Now, meanwhile, Governor Palin herself sat down for her first interview with Charlie Gibson of ABC News, where after 2 weeks of being coached in seclusion by a team of advisors, she said very reasonable things, such as, quote, we cannot repeat the Cold War. We are thankful that under Reagan we won the Cold War without a shot fired, smile, nod confidently, look at the liberal media jerk like you care, unquote.
She actually was, I thought she was going to answer every question with thanks, but no thanks.
She actually, what was interesting about her interview with Charlie Gibson on the foreign policy issues, which they focused on to begin with, was how ready and eager she was to throw down some foreign names.
Yeah.
She was like, Ahmadinejad. Well, of course, when dealing with Ahmadinejad, and you know she spent the last week walking up and down her front yard going, Ahmadinejad, 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 Ahmadinejad. So where are you guys standing on the whole lipstick and a pig issue, that huge scandal that erupted?
I just don't think pigs deserve to be subjected to this kind of analysis.
I'm telling you. You know, first you put lipstick on a pig, and then a couple of years later you got to give him facelifts and Botox. it's just going to get out of hand.
They want it every
Next
morning.
Next thing now, you're standing there with your pig going, no, that doesn't make you look fat, really. It's a terrible thing.
The pig going, you never take me anywhere.
It always used to be that you could kiss a pig and nobody would know, but if you put lipstick on it.
All right, Marianne, here's your next quote.
You're invited. Have you and the girls meet at my place at 6 a.m. for bubble baths and final prep. Just kidding.
That was from an email included in a damning report that was released this week describing the zany partying, drug use, sexual shenanigans, and general corruption that was the standard way of doing business where?
With the oil companies, I think.
It was doing business with the oil companies, but it was the government agency that was dealing with them is what we're looking for.
They had ulterior motives.
Department of the Interior.
Yes! Thank you! Who knew that the Interior Department was where the bacchanal was going on? The Interior Department's Mineral Management Service sells oil and natural gas that comes from leased lands. And since they are, in effect, instead of government bureaucrats, they're oil tycoons, apparently, they decided to act that way. The Interior Department's General Inspection Report reads more like a combination of the TV show Dallas and George W. Bush's early 30s. The Inspector General says the staff routinely accepted cash and gifts from the oil companies they did business with. Plus, sometimes they had sex with them when they weren't having sex with each other or doing cocaine in the office. Writing about the gross violations of ethics in the office, the Inspector General wrote, quote, sexual relationships with prohibited sources cannot, by definition, be arm's length, unquote. However, you could argue that arm's length is close enough for government sex. So,
you know, if
I did not have sexual relations with that industry.
Right, right.
Oh, but they did. All right, here is your last quote.
Success! The world hasn't ended. We are all still alive.
So what physics experiment didn't, as some feared, destroy the world when it was turned on this week?
The particle collider.
Yes, known as the Large Hadron Collider in Europe. Very good. It's the largest, most expensive science experiment in the history of the world. The physicists who built it say that it could answer some of the most basic questions about the nature of the universe, but other people said that when they turned it on, it would destroy the world. Carl, has the Earth ended yet?
Nope.
Wait, wasn't it supposed to, like, open up a black hole and swallow everybody?
Well, I'm checking. Carl, has that happened?
Nope.
All right.
But would we know if it had?
Presumably. Well, Carl would know. That's why I'm asking him.
Oh, that's true.
It's his job.
I'll let you know.
He'll let us know.
All right.
Carl, how did Marianne do in our quiz?
She did very well, Peter. 3 correct answers. Marianne, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Great.
Well done. Well done, Marianne.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.